Anyone know Proverbs 3, 3, and 4? You know, yes, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is pretty common. Absolutely. That's a good reward. God's word is valuable, and as we learn verses like "Let love and faithfulness never leave you, bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart," it's a reminder that can keep coming back to us of how we should live, what character we should live with. So yeah, if they want to go to the barbecue first, that'd be great. One other thing to mention in the patio area, we do have a table for VBS. And as you saw the video and heard the announcement, we are looking for people to sign up. The dates are in your worship folder, the end of July. And this is a great chance to touch kids' lives, but it takes adults to do that. And it takes a lot of help to make something like that happen. And we would love for you to consider giving 5 mornings of your summer. 5 mornings to devote to kids. There's all kinds of different ways you can get involved. I understand there's shameless bribery at the table as well for the first 8 people that sign up. Something about Frappuccinos and Starbucks. So please wait till after to do that, as people have been. So that's something to keep in mind as we approach the summer. As we celebrate the 4th of July, we celebrate a lot of different memories. We celebrate a freedom that has been earned on the back of men and women that died at times, men and women that persevered. Perhaps one of the settings that typified American perseverance during the Revolutionary War was that of Valley Forge. And if you've heard of Valley Forge, at the end of 1777, after the Declaration of Independence, and as they're fighting for independence, Washington brings the troops to Valley Forge, and they winter there. And as you hear the story, you find that it was a particularly difficult winter. Mate a little bit with the weather, because the weather conditions were harsh, although not abnormally so, but especially for lack of supplies. One statement that was made was, "You can find us by following the blood from our feet as we march," because there just wasn't enough shoes. There weren't enough proper clothing for the winter, and there was sickness that happened. But in this time of perseverance, as they were fighting for the freedom of our country that we celebrate this weekend, in this time of perseverance, Washington rallied the troops together. And they persevered through incredibly difficult circumstances. At that time, they also ended up with a whole number of new recruits, and they had to do a whole training time at Valley Forge during the winter, during the suffering. And many would say that that event, even though no battle was fought there, was one of the turning points of the war, because it proved a perseverance, a willingness to step forward and to do the right thing, no matter what, but also for an extended period of time. This morning, as we talk about the quest for godly character, we'd like to talk about perseverance, and it's very appropriate to be talking about that on July 4th weekend as we celebrate that very thing. And as we've gone through our steps, we went through the path from pride to courage, and now we're looking at the path from foolishness to wisdom. And we talked about foolishness and how it means acting on your own desires, without thinking, without thought, hey, I want to do this, I'm going to go there, and really it's an extension of self-centeredness. And then we talked that the step to solving that is faithfulness. We talked about that last week. Because God is faithful, no matter what, I can be faithful, no matter what. And we talked about faithfulness is doing the right thing no matter what I feel. Doing the right thing, even if I don't understand why it's right, but doing it because it's right. Because God has commanded it. Today we take a natural extension of that in the area of perseverance. And perseverance, in a simple form, is faithfulness over time. faithfulness over time. It's one thing to be faithful for a day in what we do and do the right thing and make the right choices and not be foolish. And, you know, almost anyone can do that for a day. But now as we're on the path towards wisdom, can we do that over a week? Can we do that over a month? Can we do that over years? And when we think of those that are wise, that are walking with God, don't we think of people that have persevered in their walk with God over an extended period of time? Because that time proves something. That time proves faithfulness. And so perseverance and faithfulness go hand in hand. You really can't have one without the other, but perseverance is taking faithfulness to the next step. As we approach perseverance this morning, it's also not only fitting on July 4th weekend, but just where we're at right now. Where we're at as a nation, where we're at as a church. And I know there's been so many different struggles in the last year. Maybe it's financial struggles, and we're wondering, okay, how do I go on financially? And we don't understand what God is doing. Maybe it's health struggles. And many in our church this year have been hit with health issues. And it blindsides us. And we're like, I just don't know. I'm tired of dealing with this. I don't know how to go on. Maybe it's a death of a loved one that always comes unexpectedly. And we just feel like, I don't know how to have joy. I don't know how to move forward in life without being so paralyzed by what I feel. Maybe it's looking for a job. Maybe it's trying to pursue dreams that feel like they're being crushed. And all of these things happen, and maybe it's dealing with kids, and we get to a day where we're like, I just can't do this anymore. They won't listen. They won't respect. I don't know what to do. And in that moment, we have a choice. In all those moments, we have a choice. Will I remain faithful and move to perseverance? Or will I sit down and say, I'm done. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Anyone ever had a day like that? Anyone had a day like that this week? Most of us. Or a moment. I'm done. I can't take another step. It's the little boy as you go on a hike that you get, you know, 20 steps in, and they sit down and they say, I'm done, I can't take another step. But we all have moments like that. And this morning we want to talk about dealing with moments like that. I need 3 volunteers, preferably from our junior high to college group. Come on up. I'm going to take guys for this. Michael, come on up. Eric, Nathan, come on up. Why are you laughing? Rebecca's like, never volunteer for anything. Go ahead and stand behind the chairs. Sorry, you don't get to sit. Today is about not sitting and saying I'm done. Okay? I'd like you to grab the back legs of the chairs and hold them out, arms straight. Your elbows must be locked. I'd just like to see how long you can do this. Certain joy in this. You cannot throw it at me when you're done. How are you guys feeling?
Mediocre.
Okay. Mediocre? Is it getting hard? You know, I'm just not sure you guys can do this much longer. You can go ahead and quit at any time. Should have, yeah. So much for the barbecue. So. Because I can also just keep preaching while you're doing this if you guys go too long. Is it getting heavy for anyone? They're not speaking to me anymore. Are you sure it's not getting a little heavy? How you doing? No, no, cute. What if what if there was a reward? Would that help you?
What's a reward?
Maybe. Hot dogs and hamburgers. That's a great reward. Anyone just nod if you're starting to struggle? And so you're getting to a point of a decision of quitting or not. And there's no shame in quitting today because the exercise intends you to. Too late. But what would help you keep going? What if instead of saying, I you can't do this, you should quit, you know what, you're doing great. I think you can do this. You're doing great. No, you don't.
Am I done?
Yes, you're done. Give him a hand. What if it's worth a Dr. Pepper? I'd say angel tickets, but I don't want you to quit right here.
I would quit.
How you doing?
A little tired.
What if it was worth $10,000?
You wouldn't give us $10,000.
No, we're pretending here. Would that help you, though, if I really had $10,000? Okay, so there's different things that would help you. Okay, go ahead and put your chairs down because we have a limited time. Go ahead and sit down. Thank you, gentlemen. Perseverance to do something difficult, even when we feel like quitting. And all three of those gentlemen said that they were ready to quit. That they had gotten tired and it would have been fun to wait until they actually did, because they would eventually. It's a difficult task, even though it's just a little chair. It's a difficult task to hold it out that. And that's a little bit of what we're talking about this morning, because life sometimes is just a little chair that seems so easy, but it gets so difficult. It gets so difficult to stay faithful, to stay faithful every moment of the day to what God wants for us and what God asks us to do. But perseverance is the road to character. And it's the road to godly character. In 2 Peter 1, a passage that talks about godly character and links them together. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and then listen to the next few, and to knowledge self-control, which is essentially what we talked about last week with faithfulness, and to self-control add perseverance. And it's this logical sequence of once we are working on being faithful, the next step is to persevere and do that over time. And to perseverance, godliness. Godliness. Being men and women that are known for being godly, that are known for being wise. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, we see the same sequence. Consider it joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. It doesn't stop there. So we know that the trials and the testing produce perseverance as we are faithful, but it goes on, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. And if we're not sure what he's talking about, he goes on in the next verse to say, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. And so there is a link in Scripture between faithfulness or self-control and then perseverance and then godliness or wisdom, maturity, being complete. And that's the path that we're on when we look at the path from foolishness to wisdom. In the Bible, when we see the word perseverance, it means a number of different things, but it means the idea of staying faithful in spite of external input, in spite of external pressure. And so like integrity, we were talking about internal pressure, but perseverance has to do with things that are outside coming in, beyond our control. Diligence is sometimes used. Persistence. Steady persistence in a course of action, a purpose, in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. And so if we took our phrase from last year, because God is faithful no matter what, I will be faithful no matter what. This morning, if you remember something, I'd like to add a phrase to that. Because God is faithful no matter what, all of the time, I will be faithful no matter what, all of the time. Our character is based on His character and His power. We think all kinds of things of persistence. It's a story of a salesman. Another salesman joke. salesman that is just having a tough time. And he goes to the same neighborhood every day. And one of the things he does is he goes to the same house every day trying to get a sale. And there's the woman of the house every day says, no, not interested. And he comes back the next day, no, not interested. And finally she gets so fed up with him, the woman of the judge syndrome, she gets so fed up with him that she says, okay, I'll buy it just to get rid of him for some peace. The next day, knock on the door. Same salesman. She goes, what are you doing here? I bought something from you yesterday. He goes, exactly. Now you're part of our established customer base. You're ready to buy again. And we think of that as persistence sometimes, where we do the same thing over and over and over. And that is an element of perseverance, but perseverance is so much more than that, because it's doing the right thing, doing the godly thing, no matter what input happens. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and that will be our primary text this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. Do you remember what was in Hebrews 11? The faith chapter, right? And if you get a chance, we don't have time this morning to read through all of Hebrews 11, but it goes throughout a whole number of Old Testament heroes of the Bible and talks about how they kept the faith in spite of circumstances, how they kept the faith no matter what. Some lost their lives. They were all stories, though, of faithfulness to God, of perseverance to God. And so Hebrews 11, the author has just finished this profound survey of biblical history, motivates, and as you read it, you can't help but say, yeah, let's go. Let's go take the hill. And that's where we lead to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning, as we get a command for perseverance. And there's six things that we can learn out of this section. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's start at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And as we strive to build perseverance, as we strive to get past quitting and the desire to quit, the first thing that we see in this passage to remember is to remember that others have gone there before. Remember those that have gone there before. And it's the idea of others have done it, others have gone through this, so can you. See, what happens when we are ready to quit, when we are ready to drop faithfulness because we don't see any other way, those are usually some of the loneliest times that we experience. Because we feel like we're out of luck. We feel like no one's around. We feel like we have no other choices. And that feeling of loneliness, that darkness, pervades and challenges us to drop perseverance. So the first thing that God brings out in His Word is, therefore, speaking back to all of Hebrews chapter 11, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, or those that testify to the faithfulness of God, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So remember those who have gone before. Remember Moses. Remember Abraham. Remember the prophets, some of which never saw results but stayed faithful to God and persevered. Remember the whole Hall of Fame. And as we remember, as we study those that God has put in His Word that have gone before, we begin to realize, I'm not alone in this. I can move forward. I can take another step because Moses took another step. I can take another step because Jeremiah took another step, even though he never saw results. So many times it's tempting to throw away some of the history of the Bible. Throw away the Old Testament. Hey, we have the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, as well as all of the Bible, we see stories of great men and women who have persevered for the cause of Christ to the point of death. And that changes things for us. That allows us to move on because we see that we are not alone. Think of it as and Paul is using a race, a track meet idea here, and running a race. And think of it as instead of just running a marathon where you're alone and you're by yourself, think of it as a relay race. I don't know if you ever ran relay races back in the day, but there's something different about a relay race because you're no longer alone. When someone comes and you're the next person, you take the baton and you keep running, but what are you in relationship to that person? You're still an extension of that person because you're running the same race. And what the author here is saying is you are an extension of all these men and women of faith. When you're tempted to quit, when you're tempted to say, I give up, you're an extension of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of men and women who haven't given up. And the motivation is not to break that chain. I remember in junior high at a specific track meet, I was running in a relay, and it was a mixed relay where people, the faster runners ran first, and the slower runners got the longer distances at the end, and so I was last. And I was the shortest guy in the class, and not real fast. And so I always got the mile and the stuff that nobody wanted to do. And I remember this particular race because we were racing against other schools, and I took the baton, and I was in third place when I took the baton. Which we were a small school, and so that was really exciting. And I'm running the mile, and in the process of running, the fourth place person, the team behind us, caught me and passed me. And I remember at that point, it was towards the end of the race, and I was dead tired. I was exhausted, and I was done. I was done. And if it was a race just by myself, I probably would have been done. But I remember alongside, the other guys started running around, which I don't know what they were supposed to do, but they were running there, and they were encouraging, and it was this idea that I am not alone. I am representing these three other guys who had ran before me. And that was enough. That was enough to finish the race and to kick strong at the end and take the third place position back from this little scrawny guy who wanted to quit. But it was different because of those that were with me in the journey. The same is true as we walk through the Christian walk. Men and women have gone before, and we are extensions of that. We are just as much part of God's plan as Abraham was, as Moses was. And we are called to be just as faithful, just as faithful. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 4, we read, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. And Paul here is saying, you know what? I boast about your endurance, your perseverance to others, because what you do affects other people. James 5 says much the same thing. I challenge you in your notes to write down two things. To write down the name of someone in the Bible that represents perseverance to you. Someone in the Bible that represents perseverance to you. And I said two things, I know. But the second thing I'd like you to write down is the name of someone that you can help with your example of perseverance. Because here's the thing, with a relay, you end up passing the baton again. And you become an example to someone else, as Paul said to the church at Thessalonica. In 2 Corinthians 1, that's the whole chapter is about this. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And we see that as we go through things, Not only are we not alone looking at examples, but we are not alone because people are looking to us. And what you're going through, what weighs on your heart, may be the very thing that someone else needs to see to be able to walk with their head high and walk close to God. Who is an example to you, but then who can you be an example to? Remember others. Remember those that have gone before. Also in verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. If we're to persevere, the second thing we have to do is eliminate distractions. Eliminate distractions. Throwing off the temptations, throwing off the things that entangle. So many times we're caught up in this mindset where we're struggling with depression, where we're struggling with giving up, but yet there's things we're holding on to that are keeping us there. Whether it be sin in our lives, whether it be bitterness, whether it be anger. What needs to be eliminated? As we go through difficult times, the faithfulness is the test. Will I be angry? Will I allow this to press on me and hold me down? It may be a completely unrelated sin, but so often it's frustrations and bitterness with the current situations. And the very frustrations with the situation keeps us from having victory over the situation. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. In 2 Timothy 2, we see the same idea. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. And the idea is to throw us away the things that are holding us down. And so as we get to a point of how do we go on, not only is remember others have been there and others are there to help and we're not in this alone, but it's dealing with looking inside, saying, are there things I'm holding on to that are holding me here? Am I willing to change those things? It's a story told of a guy that bought a new Bayliner boat and took it up to a lake. And he was just very unsatisfied with the boat. Very sluggish. He'd turn to the left and it would like take this wide turn and barely turn. He'd open up the throttle full bore and it would slowly get up to speed and wouldn't quite get up to speed. And just couldn't understand because that particular boat was noted for its speed and handling. And he comes back in and he's complaining about the boat and someone just ducks under the water and dives down with a mask on and looks, and the gentleman had forgotten to take the trailer off the boat. And that's an example of something that can hinder us, right? That attaches on sometimes out of sight and keeps us from what God intends for us and keeps us from persevering. So you got to cut the trailer off. What does God want you to cut off? What does God want you to cut off? In Jeremiah 29, we see a familiar verse. I know the plans for you, plans to prosper you. Have you heard that verse? The context is really neat there. Because it's written to the children of Israel who have been taken captive and are in exile. And they are in Babylon, in exile, bitter and angry. And the context there is God gives them instructions to be happy where they are or be joyful where they are, to make the best of it. And he says in verse 10, this is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. It's written to a specific people at a specific time who are struggling with wanting to give up and struggling with bitterness. And he goes as far to say, pray for the towns you're in. Stay there. Make the towns you're in successful. Whole different attitude. Don't get bitter. Don't complain. Don't get upset. Those things hinder and hold you back. Serve God where you're at. And then see what God will do. And then we get to the familiar verse. Context is everything. You're not alone. We need to eliminate distractions. Also in verse 1, we read on, and let us run with perseverance. We've already talked about perseverance. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Little phrase. I don't know if you've ever read that phrase because there's so much in these verses. The race marked out for us. What does that imply? Somebody went in front of us. But it implies a plan, doesn't it? It implies that there's intentionality here. And the third thing, if we're to persevere, that we need to remember is our trials are not accidents. Now, through our foolishness, sometimes we cause our trials. I understand that. But we also have so many things that press in on us, so many external influences that are beyond our control. And it's like, God, what are you doing? This is not fair. This is not right. I have loved you, I have served you, and now this is where I'm at. Run with perseverance the race marked out for you. You see, God is not surprised by anything that happens. God knows what He's about. God knows what His plan is, and He hasn't told us. He hasn't given us every detail. He asks us to trust Him. He asks us to stay faithful, to persevere, to keep moving forward, because in His timing, He will launch us to our next assignment. In His timing, He will deal with the situation we are in, because there's a whole bigger picture that we can't see, and we may never see. But there's comfort in the phrase, the path marked out for us. The race marked out for us. There's comfort in knowing that God is faithful and He is in control and He is good and His love endures forever. Your trials are not an accident. It is part of a unique plan from God Almighty to bring glory to Himself. Are we willing to endure and persevere for the glory of God? We're not alone. We need to eliminate distractions. We need to realize that God's timing is perfect. Our trials are not accidents. And then in the next couple of verses, we need to look in the right direction. Verses 2 and 3. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And we're brought back to looking in the right direction. We can look at our trials and we can look at our problems and they seem so big. And the instruction from God's Word is to say, you know what, look at Christ. Look at Christ. Look at Him for His example. He bore the cross. We were in a state where we cannot save ourselves because we have all failed and we have all sinned. And we cannot save ourselves, and so Christ came and offered Himself on the cross, and He bore the cross. He bore the shame, the most shameful death known to man at the time. He bore the scorn and the ridicule and the spitting and the hitting and the insults. And He continued and persevered so that we, by believing on Him and accepting Him, may be saved. As that is the only way to be saved. And so when we say, look to Christ, He is the ultimate example of perseverance. But He also is the source of hope. He's the source of hope. In 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3, we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is when I went to the guys and said, what about for $10,000? Could you hold it for $10,000? Yeah, that might be enough to get a few more ounces of strength out of our muscles. But when we look to Christ, the author and completer or finisher of our faith, it's not just that we're saved, but it's the hope of where we're going. This morning we sang Jesus Hurry, looking forward to life with Christ in heaven. And it begins to put things in perspective when we are dealing with the want to quit. To say, Christ didn't quit. And because of that, my future is secure. And really, if I know what heaven, if I know I'm expecting heaven, and if I know for sure I'm going to be in heaven, I can get through almost anything here. And I'd often say to people, well, you can do anything for 5 minutes. You can do anything for 10 minutes. But in light of eternity, you can do anything for a lifetime. Because it's nothing compared to eternity. And so there's hope in knowing our future and knowing where we're going. And so looking in the right direction looks back at the example of Christ and looks forward to the hope that comes with Christ. It's the snail that starts to climb the apple tree. And as he inches along from the bottom, a worm sticks his head out. Says, I'm really not sure why you're climbing the tree. There's no apples up there. And the snail says, there will be when I get there. And it's perseverance to hope in what God has planned. Hope in what is coming. Look in the right direction. There's some other verses in your notes that I would encourage you to read on each of these as you go along. Verse 4 of Hebrews 12. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. It's an encouraging verse, isn't it? You have not resisted sin to the point of shedding blood. And as we look at this, what we need to remember in perseverance is we have more in us. We need to take our fight up to the next level. Because remember, we talked about last week, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there are no temptations or no trials taking you. And it goes on to say, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted or tried beyond what you are able. If He is faithful, and He is, and if we believe that and act on that, then that means nothing I'm going through is worth quitting over. Because He always has a way through it. Do you catch that? Because God is faithful, nothing I'm going through is worth quitting over. Because there is always more in us through Christ Jesus. You have not yet resisted to the shedding of blood. It's a reminder that your situation is not hopeless. God is faithful. You have more in you. It means taking one more step. And taking one more step. And saying, I know God is faithful, so I'm gonna take another step to tomorrow and see what He does. And then tomorrow saying, I know God is faithful, and I'm gonna take another step and do what's right in His eyes. Day by day, persevering for our Lord. Finally, number 6, as we read on the rest of the passage, jump to verse 7. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. And for point number 6 of how to persevere, what to remember, we need to be asking the question, what can I learn? What can I learn? Because as we look at that passage, it's all about learning. It's all about God disciplining us, and discipline is different from punishment. Discipline always involves the idea that I'm learning something, and He's using appropriate methods to teach me something. And so as we go through things, it is opportunities for God to teach us. It is opportunities to learn. Not only are we not alone, not only do we need to eliminate distractions and look to Christ, but we need to view this as a learning time where God is trying to teach us something. And it says he disciplines those he loves. And so really, if I am going through things, if I am struggling, if I am at the point of do I persevere or do I quit, perhaps a different way of looking at it is, God loves me enough to spend time teaching me something. God loves me enough to spend time teaching me something. What can I learn? What is God trying to do? How is He disciplining me? Because every situation we're in is an opportunity for foolishness or faithfulness. And perseverance comes as we choose faithfulness over time. Where are you at? Are you at your quitting point today? Are you at a point where you just don't know how to go on? God asks us to persevere. Not to be flashy, not to be showy, but to finish. To persevere. Stories told of a track team in Kentucky. Small town. Continuing with the race metaphor. And small town, and they somehow made it to the state finals. And so they're all on their old dilapidated Bluebird bus, if anyone remembers, just making it to the big city. And they're on their way to the big city, and the coach is saying, okay guys, I just want you to do your best. And they're like, we'll try. And part of the victory for them is just getting there. And partway there, they find out that their miler, their long distance runner, is sick. Sick. There's all this talk, well, what are we going to do? We need the points or whatever. And coach says, I've already talked to Bo about that. I've already talked to Bo. And Bo wasn't actually on the track team. He signed up with one purpose, to be the water boy. And he had been faithful as the water boy all season and helped everyone out. He didn't have a lot of skill in his opinion. And coach said, I've asked Bo to do it. And the other guy's like, oh no. No, coach, do you know what you're doing? Coach said, no, I do. This is what's going to happen. And the track meet went along, and the team got some third place finishes, some fourth place finishes, really good for state finals of a team of their size, from a town of their size. And it came to the mile, the distance. And the guys were like, oh man. And they're all starting to pack up their stuff as the mile's finishing, and over the loudspeaker, and there's a lot of schools there, so a lot of runners, and they only take the top 10. And so after the top 10, they just pull everyone off. And Bo before had said, coach, I don't know if I can do this. And coach said, you have one goal, finish. It's your only goal, finish. And the team's listening, and they start to listen to the names of the guys that are coming across. And names come, and the first couple, and it's not Bo. And a couple more, and it's not Bo. And they get through all 10, and it's not Bo. 5-10 minutes later, they start to pack everything up, and they start to turn off the lights because the track meet's over. And the coach goes running to the official out there and says, turn the lights back on. Turn the lights back on. My man's not done. My man, and the official's like, what do you mean? There's no points left. There's no reason. Pull them off. Go home. He goes, my man's not done. Turn the lights back on. They motioned up to the booth, and they turned the lights back on. And you see Bo coming around one last trip around the track. And he's coming around, and he is dragging. And he's just sort of walking. And his arms are down, and he's taking one step at a time. And one step at a time. And some people start to notice this, and his teammates come, and they're watching his determination, and they're watching his perseverance. And they come and they start gathering around the finish line. And then some of the other schools and some of the other spectators who are wondering why the lights are back on come and gather around. And by the time Bo gets to the finish line, there's 100+ people there. And he crosses the finish line and the cheers just erupt. And it's like, ah! And Bo just is going to collapse. He's thinking he's going to vomit. Doesn't know how he can take another step. Coach runs over to him, and Bo actually collapses in Coach's arms and looks up and he says, Coach, I don't know why people are cheering. I don't know why people are cheering. I think I'm last. All I did was finish. And coach looks at him and says, exactly. Exactly. You finished. God calls us to perseverance. He calls us to finish, to stay the course, to be faithful to His instruction every day. Doesn't have to be flashy, huge things. Simple obedience and faithfulness are the tools of greatness in God's kingdom. This morning, as we celebrate communion, we are celebrating the perseverance of our Lord and Savior. We are coming back to the third point that we talked about of remember where we're looking, or fourth point, one of the two. Of remember where we're looking, and we're called to look at the example of Christ Jesus. And as we take of the bread, we are remembering that He died on the cross. And He was beaten, and His body was torn apart for us in an act of love that He did not give up. And as we take the grape juice, we are remembering that this represents the blood that was spilled for our sins. That this represents that Christ knows that we are failures by ourselves. And He died on the cross and shed His blood to pay for our sins, to pay the penalty so that we may live, so that we may have hope. And this morning as we come to the table, this is not to be taken lightly. This is a table for believers. It's a table for those that have chosen to accept Christ and to follow Him with their life, because it's an act that means something. It's symbolism, but it symbolizes that I am devoting my life to God Almighty. And so as we pray, it's a time for checking our hearts. Where am I with God? Am I right with God this morning? Can I take this honestly saying I am following God with my life? It's a time to check your heart. But what is amazing about God is in a split second we can be right with God. It doesn't take doing anything. It takes coming to God humbly and saying, I commit myself to You again, God. I've failed on perseverance. I haven't followed You wholly. But now I will. Please forgive me. For those that may be here that have never accepted Christ as their Savior, that are wondering what this is all about, it's okay to just pass it by. But even now, you can take a moment and you can come to Christ and you can say, I know I've blown it. I know I have not been faithful to You. I know that I am unable to without You. I accept Your death on the cross. I accept the price that was paid for my sins. Please come into my heart. It takes a moment to start a lifetime of faithfulness and perseverance. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, our Father, we can't comprehend what happened on that cross. How You must have felt like quitting. How You must have felt the pain and the anguish. But Lord, thank You for persevering. Thank You for Your faithfulness, because without that we have no penalty payment for sin. Lord, we need You. Help us to persevere. Help us right now as we take this to honor Your act and to commit to persevering for You, of standing firm for You at all times. Help us to honor You with our lives, with this simple act of symbolism. Just keep your heads bowed for a moment. If you are here and you don't know Christ, you can repeat after me and give your life to Christ this morning and celebrate a new hope. Lord God, our Father, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I have been unfaithful to You, to truth, and I know that I deserve death. Thank You, Lord, for dying on the cross. for the resurrection 3 days later, for the payment for sin that I could not accomplish on my own. I give my life to you. I want to persevere for you. If that's your prayer this morning, could you raise your hand and just say, Pastor Ron, will you pray for me? Thank you. Lord God, we celebrate communion now in honor of your sacrifice. In your name, amen. I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And we had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together. As Nick's playing the song that says, "I'm forgiven," we celebrate the blood of Christ, which was shed for our sins. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's remember together. Lord God, thank you for your sacrifice. May our eating and drinking today be a symbol of our desire to persevere for you, to step forward another day in faithfulness to you, trusting that you know the future. Lord, because you are faithful, because you persevere, we will be faithful and we will persevere. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. In your name, amen.